Nehemiah chapter number 1. As I was praying and asking the Lord to give me direction about tonight, we've been talking about revival. And, you know, as I've been reading and praying and studying about revival, I had a thought that, a question actually, and you could ask a man and probably get about 50-50. And the question is, does man have a role in revival? And if so, what is man's role? What is man's responsibility? Now, we say revival is of God, and it is. We believe that because we believe the Bible. And so revival is of God. And without God, you can't have revival. But revival is for God's people. And what is man's role in revival? What is man's role in that? What does that look like? Well, I think we have some elements, and I by no means want to suppose that I could exhaust that thought, nor the elements. I don't have all the answers. But I believe in this section of Scripture we find the heart of a man who really truly wanted to see God move. And he made himself available for God to move in his life. And there were some things that he did that I think that you and I, if we were to take the same steps, would find similar results, though it may be in another area. Now, certainly his main concern was for people. Well, it wasn't for structures. Certainly, we know about the walls and we know about the gates. We understand that. We know about the captivity and we understand that. Okay, if you've read anything about the history of Israel, you know where we are when we come here to Nehemiah. There was a remnant of people that had gone back to Jerusalem. And it's very important that I give you this, and I don't want to, it's not boring, but I don't want to take too much time here. There's a remnant of people that had gone back to Jerusalem. And there were some people that had stayed in the land of captivity, ultimately right around Persia, and that's where Nehemiah was. Nehemiah elected to stay, and he stayed there as a businessman. Nehemiah's not a preacher. And so when we read this tonight, I want you to say, well, you know, if preachers would do this and preachers would do that, certainly preachers need to lead the way, okay? I think you know I believe that with all of my heart. But it's going to take more than preachers. Now, here's a businessman. He says he's a cupbearer. Now, he's more than a butler. You have to understand the day and the position that he held. He was there kind of the face of the king's servants. He was by the king all the time as a cupbearer. He tasted the wine before the king took it to ensure that it was not tainted or poisoned. He had to be a knowledgeable man in culture and the court processions. He had to be a man that was cultured because he was by the king all the time. And the king doesn't want someone by him that's we used to call him when we were growing up, and don't think worse of me, okay, I was lost. We called him doofuses, you know. I mean, how many of you remember that word? I don't even know what it means, but I've met a lot of them. So you know, just bumbling through things and filling their way through. And no, knowledgeable, respectful, cultured. And so this was Nehemiah. He was a businessman. Now his heart was with his people. His heart was with his God, but he stayed there. And so in God's sovereignty, and I want you to hear this now, because we're going to get into this, and I think this is the first step. I believe God raises up people and puts a burden in their heart. God has put burdens in my heart before, and some I've accepted, and unfortunately, I'm sad to tell you, some I have not. I have denied the burden. When God puts a burden on your heart, he squeezes your heart, And he lets you feel some of what he feels. And God is grieved because of the actions of a people. And God puts that burden on your heart. You feel what God feels. And I think if you know anything about a walk with God at all, you understand what I'm telling you. It's very real. There's a heaviness in your spirit. There's also the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And when God puts that in your heart, listen, that's there as a believer, but we can drown it out because of things in our own lives. But when God just puts that joy unspeakable, that fullness of joy in your heart, and it fills your heart, it literally dominates your life. And so I think what Nehemiah encounters here is God placing a burden on his heart. And he arranged some things. Now, I believe in the arrangements of God. I believe in the sovereignty and the providence of God. God puts things, God puts people together. You believe that? God puts things and people together. So here's Nehemiah. Now, we're going to pick up in chapter 1. I want to have a word of prayer. I'm not going to read through the scripture. I just want to go down and point out some things that I hope that God will place a burden on our heart. We're in a bad way, brethren. We're in a bad way. Our country's in a bad way. Our people are in a bad way. Our churches are in a bad way. And we need God to help us. Okay? Now, only God can do this, but there's things that we can do to get God involved. And I hope that you'll see that from this, just a few little simple things that I don't think I'm going to teach you anything tonight. I just want to remind you, you have a role in this. God wants to put something on your heart. He's already put something in your heart. God wants to put something on your heart that could help change the direction of our people. Exactly what he did for Nehemiah. Father, would you help me to share the burden that you've put on my heart. God, I need you. We need you. Help us, Lord. I humble myself before you. Help me to make it clear what you've put in my heart. Help me to receive the burden. And God, I pray that if you choose among this congregation tonight, others to place that burden on their heart. God, help them to receive the burden. We want it for Christ's sake. God, for your kingdom's sake. For your name's sake. Hallowed be thy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The account of Nehemiah is very familiar to most of us. If you've been saved for any time, you know about Nehemiah. You know what's going on here. And so the scripture says in verse number 1 of chapter 1, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month Chislu, and that's, as I have studied in the past, been told that that's around mid-November to mid-December in their time. That month, that time, the 20th year as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came. Now this is God. See, I believe this is God. God is moving. Didn't just so happen, you know, I mean. Yeah, so here, at this time, this person, God's going to put some people together. See, God works that way. And we have to be conscious of that. And that's what I want to talk to you about, having a conscientiousness of what God is doing. Be conscious of what God is doing. Be aware. And Nehemiah was. And I'm going to show you what I mean here in just a moment. And so the scripture says that one of my brethren came, and he and certain men of Judah, now watch this, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped. I was conscious enough to ask a question. How's it going? How are my people doing? How are the people that escaped? How are the people, the remnant, how are they doing? And he said, I asked them concerning. He was concerned. Now I believe this is where really any move of God begins. There has to be a concern. I think there's probably something that's missing among us today. We do real good at faking concern. Now, I said we now, not you. We do real good at masking concern and then just kind of going on with our business. But I'm going to show you here in just a few moments, undoubtedly, this was not just a feigned concern. It was in his heart. He cared. He truly cared. He really wanted to know. It wasn't, how are you doing? And you don't even wait to hear the answer. You're on to the next person. You know, we've done it. We've all done it before. It's just things we do. You know, how are you doing? Then you just go on and, you know, somebody could be standing there waiting for someone to ask them, how are you doing? And you ask them, and before they tell you that they're going through the hardest time of their life, you've already moved on to someone else. And it's really not real. It's kind of become part of a cordial greeting of sorts to where we just throw it out there. That's not what's going on here. Okay, that is not what's going on here. So Nehemiah says, okay, he said, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. How's the remnant doing down there in Jerusalem? How are they getting along? How are my people doing? How are God's people doing? They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. They're not doing good, Nehemiah. Not looking good for the home team. They're in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Not looking good. I'm going to bring it to today. Not looking good for the church, Nehemiah. Not looking good. They're suffering. They're in great affliction. They're going backwards. They're reeling. Pastors are quitting. There's churches all around our great country, Nehemiah, with no pastors. Those that are not quitting are preaching for money, retirement, a new car. They're just hirelings. So it's not looking good on the home front. The people are discouraged. The numbers are declining. The baptisms are missing. Few people are being saved anymore. They're having revival in name only, not experience. It's not looking good, Nehemiah. You can't even tell those of the Jews from those of the Gentiles anymore. They dress like the Gentiles. They talk like the Gentiles. They act like the Gentiles. They live like the Gentiles. It's kind of hard to tell the Gentile from the Jew anymore, Nehemiah. I'm telling you, Nehemiah, it's not looking good. Now, Nehemiah could have said, oh, well, glad I stayed in Persia. Got me a job as a king's cupbearer. Man, I made the right decision. But God arranged this meeting. Amen. God put this together. Because God's getting ready to do something. And when God gets ready to do something, he will always stir in the heart of at least one individual. Listen, you go back and you study the revivals of this country and other countries, and you will always find that God got a hold of at least one person's heart. Sometimes four, sometimes a few families, sometimes a couple of ladies that got into the pulpit and prayed. Listen, you study when God done great things, when God moved in great ways, he always began by bringing people together and putting a burden in their heart. I wonder if God could put a burden on your heart. Are you too busy for God to use you to help his people? Am I too busy? Or are we filled up with the things that we have going on in life? Are we on the wheel of a gerbil's cage that we're just going round and 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 round? Or can we break free long enough to say, God, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Use me. And if need be, send me. God, here am I. Here am I. We're going to find out that's exactly what Nehemiah did. At the risk of his own life. So here's a man. His name means the Lord is comfort. That's what the name Nehemiah means. I believe Nehemiah had it good. Right? So here's a man whose name means the Lord is comfort. He's got the job as the king's right-hand man. He's the king's cupbearer. I think he's living good. I think he's living large. And then God arranges for him to meet one of his brethren and some other brethren, and he says, hey, look, by the way, how's the home place? How's things going? How's the church? Now I'm bringing it today. You know, how's the church? How's God's people? How's the local churches doing? How's the preachers doing? Is everybody fired up, still serving God, winning souls, you know, preaching the word, taking a stand? No, that's not the way it is, Nehemiah. It's not good. Great affliction. Well, verse number 4 says, it came to pass when I heard these words. Now, I can't prove this. I don't think Nehemiah was expecting this, okay? I don't think when he got up that morning he was expecting this day to go this way. And he said, you know, when I heard that, I sat down. I don't know that I fully understand what's going on here, but I can tell you this. God just put something on Nehemiah. Amen? You ever been there? When God put something on you, you had to sit down. I mean, you sat down. Right? Nehemiah sat down. He said, whoa, man, that's big. That's heavy. That burden is heavy. How does it affect you when you hear? Yes, such and such church closed down. Such and such church closed down. Such and such pastors quit the ministry. Such and such church doesn't have a pastor anymore. They've been without a pastor for 4 years. I could start naming churches. Yeah. Such and such, you know, ran 2,000 in Sunday school. 65 in Sunday school. You know, the church used to run buses, had 30, 40, 50 buses. I mean, listen, they were on fire, man. They were rolling. No bus ministry. Zero. We all know those stories, right? Come on, folks. How many of you say, yeah, preacher, I know. Our churches are declining. Are you hearing about churches growing now or just going backwards? How about Christians? You've met them. Yo, so-and-so, man, that family used to be in church on fire serving God. I mean, listen, on the front row, shouting the victory, singing every song, just involved in everything. Yeah, they quit church. See, this is the news. This is the news. All right? Now listen, the first thing I want to tell you is don't let that be you. Oh, now preacher, I never do that. Well, I hope you don't, but now you might. You better stay focused. The lion is not caged. Listen to me now. Well, I heard a preacher, he demanded Satan to get back to hell. But Satan didn't listen to him. Okay, just so you know. In case you send him a dollar or two, stop sending him anything. Satan's not listening to that preacher. God's not either. And don't you. Amen. This kind of stuff's going on in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of what I've just read you. That's why we're in the condition we're in. Stay focused, brethren. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word of God. He said, I sat down. And then notice this. He said, and wept. What do you do when you hear news like this? Oh, well, my church is doing good. Probably not as good as you think. That's right. Just like you're probably not doing as good as you think you're doing. We all have a way of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Amen. I said all of us now. And see, when you put a bunch of people together or a group of people, let me, you know, you say, well, we're not bananas, preacher. Okay. When you put a group of people together that think more highly of themselves than they ought, well, now you've got a church that thinks that it's better than it is. Brethren, we need some help. We need God to shake us a little bit. We need God to arrange some times and places and conversations. We need God to put a burden on us and remind us that with great privilege comes great responsibility. I want to hear every one of you say amen with me. Please understand what I'm saying to you. It's important. We have a responsibility before God. To much is given, to much is required. God's been good to us. Amen. God arranges this. And Nehemiah said, man, that shook me to the core. When's the last time you've been shook to the core? About the news of other people. Not your news. Not with what's going on with you, but from the news of what's going on with other people. Just shook you to the core. Because churches are closing. Does that bother you? Does it bother you that in areas where there used to be good, strong, Bible-believing churches, there are none anymore? That churches are on the decline in America. Men being called to ministry, men being called to the mission field is on the decline greatly in this country. And this used to be the sending house. This used to be the launching pad. Are you listening? But it's not that way anymore. And while we've been busy counting our cash and buying storage houses for our material possessions and our goods and living high and living large on things that really don't matter, it's all going to burn up one day. Listen to me. I'm talking to me first. And if it's just me only, I'll accept the message. We need to get concerned about God's work, God's people, God's kingdom. In some ways, I believe that's what God is doing to Nehemiah here. Hey, Nehemiah, you give a little bit too much homage to the wrong king. There's another king that you need to get greatly concerned about, and I do too. He said, "I sat down." Are you there? Have you been there? Has it shaken you? Has it moved you? Man, we're in trouble. My neighbors are lost. They're going to hell. Does that even in any way bother us anymore? There's people that live under the shadow of this church that are not saved. Does that bother me as the pastor? Does that bother you? Does it bother you that there's people within your own family that bear your own name and heritage that are not saved? Some of you have close family relatives that are not saved. Does that bother us anymore? Have we grown drunk on materialism and self, that it no longer moves us when we hear that people die in their sin and go to hell, that people are wandering aimlessly through life with no purpose? Even tonight's message, I know it's not all that, but I don't think anyone could stand up and say, preacher, what you're saying is not so. It is so. But are you sitting there thinking, man, I got a lot to do at work tomorrow? I've heard all this, preacher. Yeah, I know you have. When are you going to start doing something about it? When are we going to accept the burden? Who do we think that God is going to call to do this? Someone else? And so he says, I sat down and I wept. Think about it. When's the last time you cried? Just wept. And mourned. Now here's the key. I believe this is the key, this next phrase. Don't miss it. For certain days. It lasted beyond the preacher's message. You know, I just can't wait till he gets through, and then I can go back and I can get back to what I'm going to do. Hey, listen, I've been there. I'm still there sometimes, and I hate myself for it, all right? I hate myself for it. That's not the way I want to live my life. And if you're saved, it's not the way you want to live your life either, if you're saved. And yet, if we're not careful, we will. It's just business as usual. It's just another day, another dollar, and we just go on to the next day. But God has something better for us, brethren. God has something better for us. God has something higher and greater for us. It's his work. It's making an impact. It's making a difference. It's not folding under the load and saying, oh my, and just always talking. This is something that God really just impressed upon my heart. Man, when are we going to quit talking about all this? Well, the church is dying. Let's do something about it. Well, people are dying and going to hell. Well, let's do something about it. Amen. Well, you know, Madison's, it's just not the same. Green, you know, a bunch of thugs and a bunch of, you know, drugs and violence and Albemarle County and UVA and then on and on. Well, let's do something about it. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I know. We'll vote somebody in and tell them to do something about it. That's not the answer. But we become dependent on that. I said we now. Maybe somebody else will do it. Maybe somebody else will start it up. And I'll just give money to it. That's not the answer. That's not what God did in this man's heart. Please hear me. I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you what God's word says. I'm trying to rally you and charge you, brethren, by the grace of God and with the help of God. We can't just keep talking about this stuff. We've been talking about it for 30 years now. And the church is still dying. And folks are still going on their way. And you say, well, preacher, I can't make people believe. I'll tell you right now, you're exactly right, but I'll tell you what you can do. We can pray to a God and get serious with that God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God will convict people in their heart. And you know what it is to be under conviction. And when you get under Holy Ghost conviction, somebody's going to be sitting down and somebody's going to be mourning and weeping. Amen. I sure am glad somebody prayed me into that condition. Aren't you glad somebody prayed you into that condition? Please don't you just think now that just all of a sudden you got in that condition. No, God had somebody. He put a burden. He put you as the burden on their heart. And when they began to pray, God answered their prayer, and the Spirit of God came by your way and put you under Holy Ghost conviction. And here you sit today. Amen. In a Bible-believing church, blessed and on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. But there's some more out there that need that. Many, many more. Amen, church? Amen. And so he said, you know what? I sit down, but it wasn't just a flash in the pan. I didn't just get stirred, and my emotions didn't just get worked on. I'm not trying to work on your emotion. I'm going deeper than that. I want to hit you right in the center of your heart tonight. Because I want you to think about this certain days. Because that's when it gets real. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I've had it happen. You've had it happen. If we're not careful, it's going to keep happening. God will lay a burden on me. And God will say, all right, now it's time to get to work. Let's go. This is what I want you to do. And it doesn't last certain days because life happens. Life happens. And we struggle with those things. And we keep wrestling with it, right? You know what I'm saying? Am I anybody in here with me? You know what I'm saying? I think I'm about as human as you are. I mean, you know, just as common, right? It just happens. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't get anything else out of the book of Nehemiah, you'll find something out about this man. He was a determined somebody. They just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept opposing and kept threatening. And Nehemiah just kept praying and kept praying and kept praying. As a matter of fact, if you'll notice, and I'm about done here now. So the first thing. He was conscientious of his surroundings. He was aware, and he realized, man, there's something not right here. Hey, how's the brethren doing? How's it going at home place? Oh, it's not good. Okay. And when he heard these words in verse number 4, he sat down. I believe that means it just bothered him. It just kind of like a gut punch. And then he wept. He said, my. I mean, I knew it wasn't going good, but I didn't know it was that bad. You know, sometimes we just need to wake up to the reality. It's bad, brethren. It's bad. And then he mourned. Certain days, I think that's the key. Certain days. Yeah. And then he fasted. I'd say it shook him. I think that thinking on things for certain days moved him to action. And then he began to pray. I'm going to close with this. I want you to reread this sometime. I just, you know, you have to be conscious enough of what's going on. Okay, please don't think that the churches are growing and that you know that there's just, I mean, there's things going on. I'm not trying to set, listen, I'm not a doomsday guy. You folks know me. But there comes a time where you have to just face reality. We're in trouble. Okay? Oh, but Trump got voted in. We're in trouble.
Amen.
Listen to me. We're in trouble. But President Trump's gonna fix it. No, we're in trouble beyond what President Trump can fix. I'm talking to you about another sphere here, okay? Another dimension. I'm talking to you about a spiritual dilemma.
Amen.
We need God. Please hear me. Politicians can't fix what I'm talking to you about tonight. Vote, be a good citizen, pray for your leaders. But that's not what the answer is. Amen.
Amen.
You know my position on that. You know who I voted for. I'm not ashamed of that. But I'm telling you, we need something beyond that. Don't put your hope for supernatural needs. Don't put your hope in natural persons. We need God. Begin to read this prayer, and I hope you'll read it sometime. He begins praying in verse number 5, and he prays on down through verse number 11. And he prays, and he just bears. The thing that I really appreciate about Nehemiah's prayers, he said, God, we're in trouble. He just said, I'm going to go ahead and say it. We're all just sinners. It's not me, it's not them, it's us. He keeps using the word we. And in verse number 6, look at the latter part of verse number 6, he confessed the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. You see that in the last part of verse number 6? Look at verse number 7. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest by thy servant Moses. It's us, Lord. It's us. We're the problem. We're the problem. It's not the projects. It's not the prostitutes. It's not the drug dealers, Lord. It's not them. It's us. It's us. And if we don't get right, it's not going to be made right. We're the ones that can get a hold of God. Hear me now. The drug pushers not going to get a hold of God. The drunks don't get a hold of God in case it's a cry for salvation. For the problems that I present to you tonight, only we, God's people, can get a hold of God. And thank God we can get a hold of Him. Let's get a hold of Him. Let's set aside some time. Let's ask God to squeeze our heart and to give us our tears again. In the days when churches were filling up and they were lining up to get in those buildings and people were getting saved and people were on fire for God, brethren. Listen to me now. There was praying and fasting and there was confession of sin. There was dedication and consecration. There was priority and focus. That's what I see here. Lord, we're going to need you to help us. We're weak. We're sinful. But now we've learned, and we've learned all the things to say and how to say it. We think we're all that. Brethren, we're still just as weak as we've ever been. Without God, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Do you really believe that? I believe you do. I do. I need to be reminded often, but I believe it. And then finally, I want to close with this. Well, we've talked about it again, okay? That's basically what could be said up to this point. Well, we've talked about it again. There's a need. We have the answer. Our God has the answer. We're the tools. We're the part of the resources that He'll use. So here we go, right? Let's just have prayer and end. Nope, because that's not the end. Nehemiah, ask about it. What's going on? He heard about it. They told him. He sat down and he wept and he mourned and he fasted and he prayed certain days. Now here's where the disconnect has come. He didn't stop there. Then he'd done something about it. If you go over to chapter number 2, it actually begins at the latter part of chapter 1, but because of time, I'm going to close here. He said in chapter 2, verse 5, he got in the king's presence, and he knew, oh boy, if the king sees that I'm not my usual self and there's something bothering me, this could be kind of dicey here. But he said, I'm going to do it because there's a lot at stake here. And so he went before the presence of the king, and the king said, hey, there's something not right, Nehemiah. And I'm paraphrasing now. You read it yourself. He said, what's going on with you, Nehemiah? And he said, well, it's my people, sir. I'm burdened for my people. And then notice in verse number 5, I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest, and here it is, send me. I want to do something about it. I want to go to work on this problem. And from here on down, you'll find where Nehemiah went to work. And I mean, God, I wished I had the time tonight. I don't. God started answering prayer after prayer after prayer. What a praying man Nehemiah was. He prayed and God heard and God answered. He prayed and God heard and God answered. Amen. So, can we have revival? Some people say no. Absolutely, we can have revival. Absolutely. Is revival of God? Absolutely, it's of God. Absolutely, it's of God. Do we have a part of that? Absolutely, we're a part of this. Absolutely. And just some of the elements. just some. It's a good starting place. You know, realize, and there's a problem here. It's big. Now, those of you that are younger than I, which is just a few of you, and those of you with children, please hear me now. If Jesus doesn't come soon, I didn't say if he doesn't come, he's coming. But if he doesn't come soon, and this thing doesn't get turned around, I want you to understand something. If that doesn't shake you, something's not right. Something's not right. We're in a darkness now that's just kind of looming over our country, and I think it's just really, it's almost just got us in a daze to where we don't see the seriousness of this thing. This serious business. As you stand to your feet, I want to share something with you that God brought this to my attention. Now, I believe everything I preach to you tonight because it's God's word. And while there are many people that maybe would hear a message like this and say, I don't think that of you. I don't think that of you. I think you will take to heart what I preach to you tonight, and I pray that you will. Not just for tonight, but for certain days. The temptation is going to be, well, let me just go on back to business as usual. I pray God will not allow you to do that. And I pray he would start with me. And he would not allow me to do that. It's not what I want to do. But I've done it before. I don't want to be that person, okay? I care about people. See, I care about your life. I care about your children. I care about your grandchildren. And I believe you do too. But there's people out there that I've never met. I care that they know Jesus. I don't have to know them to care about them. I just don't want to see people go to hell. I don't want to see people live in the hell that this country has created and then go to hell after that. I don't want to see that. And I don't believe you do either. I just don't. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do?